Good morning. Oh, I'm on now for sure. I told him, and I asked him very nicely not to turn it on while I sang, for your sakes. So, we're going to look at what today is. Today is Reformation Sunday. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but today is Reformation Sunday. 506 years ago, tomorrow, because it was on the 31st, but we celebrate it today, is the date that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the castle door in Wittenberg, or the church castle door in Wittenberg, Germany. In his thesis, Luther condemned the excesses and the corruption of the church of his day, especially the selling of indulgences. What an indulgence was is that you could purchase this indulgence for the forgiveness of a past, a present, or even a future sin. Johann Tetzel was the major dispenser, if you will, of these indulgences that were supposedly signed by the leader of the church of that day. These indulgences did away with repentance and pardoned sin. The church at that time was basing forgiveness on works, not faith. And Luther came to understand that we are justified, sanctified, and saved by faith. And by faith alone. In Romans 1, and this is the verse that really stirred his heart. Romans 1, verse 17. Well, I'm going to read 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, I'm going to stop right there. You need to understand, so that we're on the same page, what believing is. Believing is putting into action the knowledge that you have, that you have received by faith. It's action. It's something that we do. Believing is something that we have to do as Christians. So we're sanctified and saved by faith. Picking up where I left off. To all, everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In his time, the people that were the doctorates and the ones who were teaching were saying that the righteousness of God was like the thumb of God on everyone for sin. That everyone was a sinner and there was no way to get out of it other than by works. And hence we have the indulgences. Now his thesis is the spark that produced the Protestant church. Okay? His idea at that time was to reform the church of that day, to get them to understand what they were teaching was wrong. He did not want to cause the violence and the separation that took place a couple years, actually, I think it was 1522 that it took place that separated the church at that time. In my studying, I was wondering why in the world would a pious monk, a pious man of God, refuse to back down or recant his writings in order to bring peace to the church, to bring peace to the community in which he lived. I truly believe that it came from love. That it came from his love of God and love for his neighbor. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of yourself. And your neighbor as yourself. That's the second part of it, as Jesus said. And your neighbor as yourself. Now, another definition so that we all are on the same page. Who's your neighbor? Is it the guy that lives next door to your house? You know, it can be. Who's your neighbor right now? Reach out like this. Those are your neighbors. Guess what? Those people on that side of the church, are your neighbors. And those people in the middle are your neighbors, and so on and so forth. It's not a geographical thing. It's a moral issue. The people that you work with are your neighbors. Those people that, and this is where I have trouble, the people that cut me off in traffic, who are driving at way under the speed limit, or at the speed limit, as the case may be, those are my neighbors. Those are your neighbors. Those people that are, I don't know where, the up at the assemblies, those are your neighbors. The people that are in town worshiping this morning, those are your neighbors. We're to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. Sorry, tangent. Jesus said that if you love me, you will do as I command. It's obedience, right? Simple, plain, easy, nothing to worry about. To willfully go against God's known will is sin. These indulgences that we were talking about did nothing to remove the sin in a person's life. Nothing. It was a piece of paper written out by a man. Luther was motivated by love. He saw that the church of that time was what it was doing to the people, and he chose out of love for God and for his neighbor to proclaim the truth that he had come to understand through divine revelation, if you're asking me. Okay? He went against the flow, he challenged the status quo, and he came against the false teaching of his day. We have some false teaching we could come against out of love and kindness. Notice I didn't say nice. Kindness. Love should be the motivation to do all the things that we do as believers. Love should prevent us from certain things, from doing certain things, and it should be the motivation to spread the gospel. Think about when you're walking through a Walmart or a local store, those people that you are your neighbors that have no or have never heard the gospel or never had the chance to talk to somebody about the gospel. Are we showing our love by just ignoring them? We need the motivation of love to spread the gospel and to take our next step. Your next step and mine is different. As we walk in this world, to take our next step of faith. Okay? In Galatians 5:6, and I didn't give this to you, Brock, and I apologize. Just it life is what it is. In Galatians 5:6, we read, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." I have read that verse, I don't know how many times over the years, and in the last year or so, I guess it might be a little bit longer than that, but that verse. I was doing a study on Galatians, and I went and looked it up. That verse refers to the love of God for us. To me, that was an eye-opener. To me, it was one of those moments of aha, okay? So it's out of God's love for me that my faith grows. How does it grow my faith? You see, when we begin to realize the extent of God's love for us, that we are truly forgiven of every sin we've ever committed, that He has removed them as far as the east is from the west, has made us citizens of the kingdom, has adopted us as His own children. That's the beginning of love. Our love for Him. You get married, or you're dating, either way, and you marry this person, and all of a sudden you have to start trusting them as well as loving them. As we love, or as we learn to love someone, we start to understand that we can trust them. We put our faith in them. I will tell you that Mindy and I, 40 years today, you all knew that, or most of you did. 40 years ago, I handed her my checkbook. I haven't seen it since. But I completely trust her with it. Because she's going to take the first dime she ever made to the grave with her. Love you, dear. There's always in a marriage, or usually in a marriage, a spender and a saver. She's the saver. If, as she tells everyone, give him five, he'll spend 10. You have to learn to trust. And it comes from love. When we start to realize how much God loves us, our faith in God grows. Faith is not something that you choose to increase on demand. It only grows as your security in God's love for you grows. And your faith in God grows in response to the knowledge and understanding that you have of God's love. And you gain that knowledge through His Word and through your experience of that love. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for you. And because of that, your sin was removed as a Christian. Because of the cross. Because of Jesus' obedience out of love to His Father. There was a blessing that has been for all of us. Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified in the truth in John 17:17. And He said immediately after, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. To be sanctified is to be set apart. In the Greek, the word is translated for us into English either as holy or sanctified, depending on how it's used. So we understand that we're set apart for God's use. You are saved from sin, but you're saved unto the Lord. You belong to Him. You were bought at a price. I have come to see that we are sanctified as our understanding of His love for us grows. And I'm going to keep emphasizing that. And it grows through His Word and through the experiences we have. We are called to consecrate ourselves, set ourselves aside unto the Lord, okay? Romans 12:1, which I took the privilege of marking. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, my translation says brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Why do we do that? Out of love. Out of love for what God has done for us. We love because He first loved us. First Thessalonians 5:23. I think I gave that one to you. Thank you. There we read, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless on the coming of our Lord, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, completely, however your translations may say it, sanctified. I believe that Luther was completely and wholly sanctified, that he knew what he had to do out of love and did it. I have a friend, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I ask his permission to share this, who 20 or so years ago had a moral failure, and got a divorce. A few years after that, and I probably 15 years, he was still attending the same church where the moral failure had happened and where he felt that God could never forgive him of his sin. He got remarried, was still attending the church, and for whatever reasons, they decided to move to a different church. He's told me over and over again, I could not believe that God could forgive me for what I did, because I know what I did was wrong, and I know that he can't forgive me. He says, but then I went to this other church, and I heard a sermon. And I went to the altar broken, because I knew that I was forgiven. And I knew that God loved me enough to forgive me, no matter what I had done. I had repented of it, I'd turned from it, and now God loved me. And I knew it. And he says, when I got up from that altar, if he'd have said to me, I need you to go to Africa, I need you to do this, he said, I'd have done it. No questions asked. If he'd have told me to sell my house and give it to the poor, I would have done it. And he says, and I still would. That, my friends, is completely sanctified. Wholly sanctified, because his life was surrendered to God. Why? Because he understood what God had done for him. He had come to realize to the depths of what God's love meant. One of the saints of the church, and I can't remember, so maybe you can help me, said that it's being in the yes position. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever it is. I'm trying to figure out one of my notes where I left off because I went running for a while. That's what complete sanctification, though, looks like. In John chapter 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit who enables and empowers us to live the life we're called to live as Christians. When we go a little bit further and we surrender completely to him, now guess what? We don't have the Spirit. The Spirit has us. The Spirit may move you to go to Michigan. The Spirit may move you to love that miserable, crotchety old guy next door. Or that cussing, miserable person you work with. Or fill in the blank. Are you? Are you going to do that? The only way we can love God fully, hear me on this, with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and with everything that we have, is when we completely surrender to him in love. Not fear, in love. Completely surrendered to him in love. And again, I say, we love because he first loves us. The life of holiness, complete sanctification, is when you, without a thought, out of love, are walking in obedience to what you know of God's will. Of what you know of God's will. We cannot stop growing and reaching for the Lord. We cannot stop being Christians because we've reached a certain age or reached a certain point in our education. We cannot stop coming together to learn together so that we can grow together, so that we can go together. Are we willing to lay aside our wants and our needs out of love? I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple back home. And I asked him, I said, would you lay down your life for your fiance? Yeah, certainly I would. I said, so you would, you're telling me you'd what? He said, I'd die for her. He says, I'm not asking you that. Are you willing to lay down your life out of love for her? To set aside your agenda? To, instead of going hunting or fishing or to the football game, to take her shopping? To go to Hobby Lobby? Thank you. That is love. That's laying down your life. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he wants you to lay down your life for him. He did for you. And he wants you to do it not because the pastor said I got to do this. No, you need to do it out of the love that you know of, from him. Out of the love you have for him. Because the more we grow in the understanding of God's love for us, the more we grow in our love for him. And the more we're willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Huh. That's when we're walking in obedience while growing in the grace and knowledge of God, building our relationship with him in the love that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you weren't here last night, it's one of my favorite verses. Because in that verse, at the very beginning of that, actually it starts in chapter 4, it says that we are sanctified and justified and that God loves us and that he gives us his Spirit. And I'm paraphrasing this. And that he gives us his Spirit and that his love is poured into us. Now, the Dead Sea has a lot of stuff that goes. The Jordan just pours into the Dead Sea, but nothing comes out of it. That's why they call it dead. God's love is to flow through us. It's to touch our neighbors. It's to change us into the image of his Son. For those who love God, all things work to the good, right? You know what the next verse says? We all know that 8:28. 8:29 talks about us being conformed into the image of his Son. That's the good. And why is it done? Because we love him. For those who love God, all things work to the good of those who love him. Do you know the love of God? Have you surrendered all to him? That's your cue. Have you surrendered all to him? I want you to think about that. And I invite you to come and pray this morning as the praise team leads us in I Surrender All. And I would really like it as you sing it, you read the words. Holy thine. Make me holy thine. Holy sanctified out of love. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thanking you, Lord, for the love that has been shown us, and praying, Lord, that your love would flow through us, that you would sanctify us through your word, Lord, that our faith would increase because we come to know the love you have for us. Help us to surrender all to you, Lord, to be yours completely, holy, sanctified. Accept the offering we have, which is all we can give, is ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you pray with me? Father God, for the blessings of this day, for the ways in which you have moved, the wisdom which you have imparted, the warmth of your presence, we give you thanks. And now, O Lord, for the days ahead, we ask for grace and power and love, the root of all things. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. We're going to take a moment.